Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
Phil, we're back.
Excitement plus, wasn't it?
Oh, Phil.
Last night.
I hear that you couldn't sleep afterwards. Is that right?
No, because I slept during the game, I think. No, I didn't really.
Well, what did you think of it, Phil?
Very boring, Rick. 5-6 to 5-6.
Well, I must confess to our listeners, I only watched the second half for curiosity's sake, and I was a bit shocked when I turned it on and saw that Collingwood had obviously must have got the jump, but I couldn't believe how ordinary the standard was.
Oh, and they're blaming, I mean, it was dewy, yeah. Obviously, but I know, and it's early days, the training's been, you know, off and on, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, there's all things against it, but wow, that was an ordinary game of footy.
Well, the thing that amazes me is that, yes, I think we, all of us, experts, non-experts, whatever, followers, non-followers, can say, yep, they've had umpteen weeks off because of the virus and they haven't been able to do match training.
Yep.
But to use the excuse of due, they've played, every one of those players has played a lot of night football before.
Can't they train in the evening?
Well,
just leading up.
How about that?
Imagine that, if they trained when they're actually going to play.
What a... You should consider...
I think I'm onto something.
Oh, I think you
I'm onto
should
something,
put your hand up. You could be an AFL coach.
I could be anything. I might need to be soon.
Yeah, the way Australia votes. Yeah. But honestly, I was really surprised at the substandard. Now, you can only excuse... I mean, like, that seemed to me worse than an opening round when they've had a whole summer off.
I agree. That was one of the worst. I couldn't get into it. I mean, I was sitting on my computer sort of mucking around with that during it because it was just so boring. I read the Leader newspaper.
What? Read the Leader?
Yeah. Can I say that on here?
Yes, you can say that. I just
couldn't get into it. It was just a boring game of footy. Jack Revolt, 35 metres out and did not make the distance.
Yeah, I wonder what he was trying to do.
What was that?
The only thing I can think of is that he was so concerned about putting it through the majors that he forgot to actually swing his leg.
Perhaps he didn't want to jump the fence and go and get the ball after.
That might be true as well.
I mean, what was that about? And not one Richmond player in the square.
No. Now, admittedly, having admitted that I only saw half the game, and it's such an ordinary game that I don't really want to spend a lot of time on.
But I agree.
In the time that I saw, and sometimes there is no justice in life, let alone sport, I thought Richmond looked far better. Personally, I think
second
Richmond,
half, you would have seen them.
Yeah.
They looked terrible in the first half, although they were still chasing and scragging, but that was not the Richmond of old.
Well, it seems to me, from what I can gather, that... Collingwood scored only one goal in the last three quarters.
Yeah, it was just there.
But anyway, gee whiz, let's hope that there's something.
Have you got a joke, Rick?
Have I got a joke?
Yeah,
I've got a joke. Funny, we're mentioning Collingwood.
Collingwood,
right?
We're on now, the Collingwood.
Now, picture this, Phil.
I'm picturing.
I mean, I know the joke's early in the session
today.
Yes, it is. But picture this. You got your eyes closed?
I'm ready to go.
High up. High up. In the great southern stand at the MCG.
Not last night, though.
Look, obviously not last night. An anti-Collingwood spectator asks, what is the difference between a dead Collingwood supporter on the road and a dead pig? The reply comes, obviously the skid marks are in front of the pig. Speaking of Collingwood, what about Eddie Everywhere? What do you think about his comments? Is he going? He's got a QC to sue Koshy.
Does it really matter if Port wear a black and white Guernsey against the Crows at home, where Collingwood are nowhere to be seen? Does it really matter?
I find him quite. I would love to know, and we don't. We're not privy to the board meetings and the power brokers behind the scenes. But it never ceases to amaze me just how much, well, seemingly how much power Eddie and Collingwood seem to have.
But why?
Well, they're not even that successful as a club.
I know.
I mean, they didn't get the nickname the Collie Wobbles for no reason. And the other thing, Right, and this isn't speaking as a Port Adelaide supporter or anything else. This is speaking purely as a person who loves his sport and takes interest in sport worldwide. Now, I really cannot see an argument, a justifiable argument, against whether the AFL had four teams with black and white. I mean, if you take the English Soccer League and all its divisions, including the Premier League, you've got more clubs than the 18 in the AFL or who all wear red.
Yeah.
But guess what? It's not that hard to solve. If you're away, you wear pink or purple or something.
And as I think we've just quickly had a discussion before that we kicked off here today, and it's a good money revenue raiser for the club, having another Guernsey, because you get your little Johnny, I'd like one of those Guernseys, Mum. You know, so she's got to buy two Guernseys instead of one.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a win-win for the club.
Absolutely.
Collingwood don't seem to have to do that, though, Rick, as, we, as
well,
we've seen.
Well, I mean, I know, you know, when I've had conversations like this before, lots of people say, oh, they're the, you know, membership-wise, et cetera, they're the most financially, you know, secure club in the AFL. Well, I think on a technicality, they're not, that West Coast Eagles are, but certainly amongst the old clubs, they're very strong financially. But I don't know in the Constitution, I don't know whether you could Google it or something, whether there's something that even says a club must have an away Guernsey, whether they do it, as you've said, partly for revenue raising, or, you know, is there something in the Constitution that says, thou mighty Collingwood, you're the only one who doesn't have to wear
an away strip?
That's right. I mean, it really makes no sense. Now, although the topic of discussion isn't the Port Adelaide Football Club as such, there are some members, particularly I think of the Crows fraternity, who say, oh, it's not Port Adelaide, you know, they're not black and white.
They're not the same club, they're a different club.
But I think it's worthwhile mentioning in an unbiased way that the reality is that Port Adelaide, the Port Adelaide Football Club, upset a lot of people when they tried to join the VFL, right?
Yep.
And there's a lot of people who have never forgiven them for that.
No.
It is interesting that basically at the very same time that Port Adelaide Football Club, the local Magpies, were attempting to deal with the VFL, guess who else was? Norwood.
Yes, they were.
And yet,
exactly right.
And yet Norwood have just escaped, obviously, because they didn't get invited.
Yep.
But it's an interesting set of politics, isn't it? That it is amazing.
Norwood were in there having a little bit of a bid too.
And while we're on Norwood, it's sort of almost coincidental, but it's interesting that this prison bar debate comes up, because I did a bit of spade work, and would you believe that originally Port Adelaide in its very formation years were magenta and white or something. Yep. But anyway, and one of the interesting reasons that they finished up changing to black and white was that the colours that they were using didn't stand up in the wash too well.
This is evidently a true
story. So in 1902, they changed to the black and white stripe. And although we know it as the prison bars, it was referred to as the Wolf Pylon jumper. Right? Because it resembles, I mean, you can use your imagination and like that. And believe it or not, this is where the Norwood bit comes in. It wasn't until the late 80s and 90s that Norwood supporters in their sort of, you know, typical traditional clashes with Port Adelaide, it was Norwood supporters who gave it the name the prison bars as a sort of slight on the base membership of the Port Adelaide Football Club as working-class heroes.
Yeah, that's right.
And the funny thing is that Port Adelaide quite liked it, because it was the image of toughness and determination and, you know, we are genuine working class. Isn't that fascinating? So,
I've learnt something today.
Oh, honestly, I'm all over it, Phil.
You are.
It only goes
I look at my notes and it's pretty bare over here.
It only goes to show when you've got so much spare time.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Thank heavens we do this show. Or so we know. But while we're still on that, just to you know, as a passing comment, the inconsistencies, well, I guess the AFL definition is what the AFL is, a definition of inconsistencies. But bear in mind that even with Port's application, and there were control limits saying, well, you can't be the Magpies and you can't be just black and white. At the very same time, you had Carlton navy blue and white, Geelong navy blue and white, North Melbourne admittedly not navy blue, royal blue and white, and just to the love-hate relationship between Port and the Crows, at the time the Crows went into the competition with red, yellow and blue, guess what? Red, yellow and blue, Fitzroy.
Correct.
So, you know, why is it that Collingwood are the protected species? You'd think they were possums or something, wouldn't you? I mean,
well,
speaking of possums, I wonder how mine are going up.
You've caught them all, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, well, the rumour that they come back seemingly isn't true.
No, they don't relocate. We're getting off the subject there, though, unless there's a team called the Possums.
That's true. But anyway, you know, I just find it really peculiar that Eddie has the nerve to threaten to sue Koshy or Port Adelaide. But I guess in my spare time, maybe I should read the AFL Constitution and find out where they're really at, because it seems very, very strange.
Speaking to me. Of AFL, how's the Ollie Wine saga?
Well, you know, what amazes me, and we've talked about things like this before, we've got assistants to assistants, we've got coaches, we've got psychologists, we've got physiotherapists, we've even got, I can't remember, I think it's Logan or somebody who was coaching the Port Magpies, which don't exist. So he's become...
No, it's Lachlan.
Lachlan, yeah, was Lachlan, it? Right? Yeah. He's become Port Adelaide's official advisor on handling the COVID-19. And he forgot to speak to Ollie Wines, obviously. So does he lose his job over that? Or, I mean, it's
look, there's rules there.
That's right. You've got to abide by it. Yep. Now, if that's what his full-time job is supervisor of the pandemic, then he obviously hasn't really got into the heads of all the players. I mean, because, you know, I don't know him personally, but Ollie Wines doesn't come across as the silliest bloke going around. He actually comes across as a very well-educated and speaks beautifully. You can stuff up like that?
Does the media take a little bit of... Did Ollie invite them there, or did they invite themselves to... I wonder how that works.
Well,
it must be a bit of...
I heard... Now, this is alleged. I love the word alleged.
Yep. You're using that again this week.
Well, I've got to cover myself. It is alleged that Ollie and Channel... I think it was a Channel 7 interview.
It was, because I saw it. Yeah,
It is alleged.
Yeah, alleged.
Yep. That there is a financial contract between the Channel 7 sports department and Ollie, that he gets a brief... a brief interview. But you'd think that they might have done their spade work as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I reckon there's a bit on each. But anyhow, he got a week for that.
Yeah.
The Crows got off, didn't they?
They did.
That's right. Their coach got suspended. It was probably going to get put off anyhow. So that's right.
There's an Essendon bloke, I think, got pinged for something similar. Oh, did he? Didn't he interview somebody?
I'm not too sure, Rick.
But, I mean, we're going to have these ridiculous complications now as we tend to open the
careful,
gate.
Don't we?
Now, what about the spectators for Saturday night, Phil? Hey?
I'm not happy. I'll tell you that right now.
Now,
Rick,
I think you should explain this to our listeners.
I've got an email from the Port Footy Club.
May I just mention to our listeners that Phil fully paid up, and his wife, fully paid up members.
$700 and something a year we spent.
Well, that's good value for money, isn't it?
It won't sit me bum on the seat this year. But anyway, so I got four options, and I pledged to give the club some money.
As you would, Phil, because you're Mr. Nice Guy.
Yeah. Now I mightn't have a job. I might need to get that back. Anyway, so I'd pledged $85 each out of ours, and so that's, I think it's about 300 still in the kitty. Left that at Port Adelaide, so they've got that sitting in their bank account somewhere. But that wasn't enough to get in the draw to go to this footy, so I found out. Well, they've sent me this email, yeah, and I've only got home at 10 past five the other night.
Yeah.
It had to be in by 5 o'clock. So I emailed them. I said, thanks very much. I guess I'm not in the draw. Well, this lovely young lad sent an email back saying, well, you weren't actually eligible for the draw because you didn't pledge enough. It's only the people that pledged the whole lot.
So
back.
The rich guys. It's, well, you're
so
rich.
So thanks very much, Port Adelaide. I almost rang him to say, you can
send the
you
whole
can
lot
pledge
back.
Back to me now. Because, I mean, that to me
that's,
is,
oh, that's,
yeah. Well, that's giving the rich getting richer and the
well,
poor getting poorer.
There is definitely, you know, a separation of...
That is crap, what
that
I
is,
say.
That is.
Anyway.
The other thing that I find quite interesting is that 2,000 people, you know, okay, it's a Port home game.
That only have, like, 20 people at the Adelaide Oval wouldn't be employing, wouldn't they?
Oh, 20? Try adding another naught. 200. Now,
that's as many, almost as many as going to the bloody footy.
200
for
200
silver service.
Well, no wonder the Stadium Management Authority don't make a quid. I mean,
oh, you're joking.
200.
200 now, for 2,000 people.
Now, I'm going to use the word alleged again.
Are you alleged again?
Yep, again. A very good friend of mine has
person
suggested,
you know.
Has suggested or alleged that possibly...
That's that word again.
The 200 staff,
yep,
summoned to look after 2,000 people... That the bill may be being picked up by the state government.
Oh, good on them.
Just as
just
a
another bill, is it?
Well,
be
I mean, they've
bill
got so much
up.
Money
yeah.
to throw around the government, yeah. you know. But now, no, that is only a thought.
That's only alleged.
Because, I mean, there is no logic. Just imagine if we extend that, the ratio of 200 to 2,000. Just imagine how many they're going to need for
50,000.
Hey, they'd have to get them over the bridge over a four-day period, I think.
I tell you.
With four, what is it, 4 square metres or something? I mean, what a
you
joke.
Can only sit in forward pockets. You can only sit. It's going to be peeving with rain. I'm glad I'm not going now, sitting in a forward pocket in the rain.
It is a token gesture of what, I'm not sure what it really is meant to represent. Because even, you know, with the opening up, which is fair enough, it's got to happen sooner or later. But there, someone was projecting in the last 24 hours that even at the best of times, when things have really
yep.
freed up,
yep.
the most they're going to let in is about 12,000 for a game later on in the year.
Okay.
Well, you know,
yeah.
12,000 in a 50-seater, 50,000-seat stadium
well,
is hardly...
you go over the MCG, it's 12,000 at the MCG in 100,000-seater.
That's right. You and know, so you just wonder, don't you?
But anyway, we're over time,
well,
Rick.
We are. And anyway.
But one just
Collingwood forever, is it?
Good old Collingwood forever. But one other thing,
yeah,
Rick.
What's
I
that?
Do have to wish you a very happy birthday today.
Dear man.
I did forget at the start of the show. And that aftershave that is wafting over to me, Rick, from your lovely Sal.
From the producer.
Yeah, from the producer, yeah. is just beautiful.
It is.
And I wish you all the best.
Oh, Phil, that's really lovely. I thought you'd escape because you'd forgotten.
No, I wrote it down.
Ah, oh, dear. Anyway, thank you very much, and thank you to the producer as well.
Yep.
And until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.
And this is Sal.